15. You need to get a hold of this. This is a good biblical truth, and it won't take you decades. It won't take you a decade to get what Christ is trying to teach you this morning. John chapter 15. As I said last night, it didn't take me a decade to change the way I can't make it any plainer. You know, I could stay with, I can't dumb it down any dumber. That went over great, you know. Or I can make an upgrade, I can't make it any plainer. And so, you're gonna learn something this morning. You're gonna have a test. It's gonna be a test. There will be a test. I'm gonna see how much you're retaining. It's important that you let His Word, the truth of God's Word, abide in you. If it don't abide in you, you got a real problem, okay? And so, I think the church is the only place we come where we go in, go out, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and go out as dumb as we were when we got here. You know. Right? Well, you wouldn't go to school. You wouldn't pay money to go to a university or college and go and spend 4 years and go out, you know, the way you came in, right? I guess some do that, but, it's not right. It's just not right. We come today to worship and adore God. Christ in the room. And God's people still trying to figure out if Christ is here or not. Matthew 18:20, Christ said, Jesus is God. He cannot lie. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm in the midst of my people. All right? So Christ in the room. I don't know how He does it. I don't know. I don't have to know how He does it. I don't care. But I know He's here. And so we come to worship and adore the Almighty. We'll talk about living in His presence. It's different than practicing His presence and thinking about Him on Sunday and Wednesday and from time to time. But that's later after lunch. And so John chapter 15. Notice what Christ said. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me. What does that mean? Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Christ said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without Christ, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Two prerequisites to prayer right there, two prerequisites. It's something you need beforehand. Abide in Him, and His words abide in you. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. So you've learned something already. Two prerequisites to prayer. Right? You were listening, right? Okay. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Then He said, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And so, why is it so important for the Christian to abide in Christ? We're going to look at that. There's three things. Only three. There's many more, but we're just going to deal with three in this passage of Scripture, why it's so important that you abide in Christ. Then we'll notice the meaning of abiding in Christ. You tell me, what does it mean to abide in Christ? And then number three, the two conditions. See, Christ told us there's only two conditions abiding in Christ. And if you are not abiding in Him, united in Him, you have violated. As a Christian, you have violated one or both of these conditions. And so let's get started. Let's pray. Father, what a joy it is to be here today. Pray the Spirit of God will teach us truth, that we'll take the truth that we hear today, not just be a hearer, but a doer, and we'll be careful to give you the glory, the praise for what you can accomplish in the heart of thy people today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Long way to go. Let's get started. Why is it so important that you abide in Jesus Christ every day? What's in it for me? Okay, Jesus said you'll bring forth much fruit. How do you know that? That's in verse 5. Jesus simply said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Christ said, listen, without me, ye can do nothing. Jesus had been talking about the fruit of the vine, but what did Jesus Christ mean by that? Oh, what is the fruit of the vine? We are to reproduce ourselves in the lives of others. We are to go out and win men to Christ. We are to disciple that convert, that they go out and win men to Christ and disciple those men. It's the job of every Christian to reproduce himself in the lives of others. Just as grapes bear grapes, oranges bear oranges, we are to go out and win men to Christ, disciple that convert. It's not just the pastor's responsibility. Self-propagating, okay? I wouldn't have got out of missions without self-supporting, you know, self-propagating, self-supporting. And anyway, it's not just his responsibility to go out and knock on doors and tell people about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It's not just my responsibility as an evangelist, and it's not just a Sunday school teacher or the missionary or the deacon's responsibility to go out and win to Christ. It's the job of every Christian today to reproduce himself in the lives of others. You have the highest calling of God on your lives. We are his ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are the very representatives of Jesus Christ, God's Son, the King of Kings. And don't you see, we must, with every opportunity, warn sinners to flee from the wrath to come and point them to Christ, who is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John chapter 1, verse 29. You're not convinced of that, are you? Okay, let's see what the Bible says. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even in the end of the world. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and in the othermost part of the earth. Still didn't get it. Okay, third time. Mark 16:15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. James, that's not just good advice. Sorry. That's not a strong suggestion. That's a command. What's the problem? Many of God's people go day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, and refuse to do what God says. They make up excuses. You know, if I knock on somebody's door, I have a besetting sin in my life. It's outright disobedience. It's disobedience. You need to call sin by its right name. It's disobedience. God never told you something you could not do. You believe God, right? This is your authority, right? Didn't he say go? And many of God's people go day after day and don't obey. And so now there's got to be a change of mind. A change of the way you live. A repentance is a change of mind leading the Christian to a new direction in his life. Now, that don't take decades to get. It starts with a decision. Every decision you make, you draw one step closer to Christ. And you can get as close to Christ as you want to. My question is, do you want to walk with him? Do you want to know Christ like no other Christian on the planet? Then, folks, you've got to love him. You've got to love him like no other Christian on the planet. That is, you've got to obey him like no other Christian on the planet. Starting to come together, right? Many of God's people don't. Psalm 32, verse 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. Let me give you an upgrade. In the way that thou shalt live. In the way that thou shalt worship. In the way that thou shalt please God. I will instruct thee and teach thee in a way that thou shalt live for Christ. But many of God's people don't spend quality time in the Word of God feeding the new nature that they have. This is the book, and the devil don't want you in the book. He knows if you get in this book, Psalm 32, verse 8, I'll instruct thee and teach thee in Psalm 37, verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Let me ask you something. Are you a good Christian? You born again? Are you a disciplined man? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and if you were a good man, you'd let who order your steps? God. When God gave you a marching order, what would you do? Discipline yourself to obey. Do what He says. You want to really want revival? Revival is a renewed obedience to God. That's revival. That's about as simple as I can make it. Yeah, I use simple instead of dumb. I've never done that before. I can't make it any simpler. I just learned that. I used to say I couldn't dumb it down any dumber, but I got an upgrade now. Can't make it any plainer. And so anyway, I got to hurry it up. So we reproduce ourselves in the lives of others, and you got Mark 16, 15, all the rest of them. So what was Jesus saying in John 15 and verse 5? He was simply saying this, if you will abide in me, you can bear much fruit. Let me ask you something. Are you bearing fruit? Let me ask you another. Are you reproducing yourselves in the lives of others? If not, it may very well be you are not abiding in Him. Second thing that comes out of abiding with Christ, it's on the test. One fruit, much fruit, verse 5. But the second one is you can get your prayers answered. Verse 7, Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. So what does the Bible say? It's simply saying this. If you will abide in Christ, you can ask God for anything at all, big or little. And if it is His will, you can have it. He hit me twice already. Okay, you can have it. When's the last time you asked Him for something? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. How about a photographic memory? When's the last time you got serious and you walk with God? James 4:2 says, you have not because, and then he gives us the reason, because they ask not. That's the reason they have not. No asking going on. Matthew 7:7, ask, it shall be given you. Folks, he did not say it shall be given you. He said, ask. A lot of things will not be given you that God, that you need, that God wants to give you, won't come because you will not. You should have learned that last night. You did not ask. Asking for everything. If it's His will. If it's His will, you can have it. Asking to get rid of your forgetter. Continue in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Asking to get rid of your... How about megabyte, terabyte? Have you asked... Maybe you don't know Him as well as you think you do. If it's the will of God, you can have the very thing that you ask for. James 4:3 says, my people receive not because they ask amiss, that they may consume it upon their lusts. Now, if you're not interested in walking with God, living for Christ, doing the will of God, don't bother. But if you'll come to Him earnestly, sincerely, and submissively, and say, God, and if it's His will, you can have it. Don't get to heaven and look at all the things that God wanted to do, God desired to do, He would have done, but did not do because you did not. You don't ask. All right. Okay. So, are you interested in getting your prayers answered? Maybe not. I choose to live that way. I want to get my prayers answered. That's how I get things from God. Jesus said, if you'll abide in me, you can have what you prayed for. It's the very nature of God to hear and answer prayer. It's the norm for God to hear. It is the norm for God to hear and answer prayer. Listen to his word now. Psalm 65:2. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Mark 11:17. Jesus said, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? Why would Jesus Christ say in Luke 18, verse 1, men ought always to pray and not to faint, if he were not a prayer-hearing and prayer-answering God? Why would the Apostle Paul command us to pray? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, which says, pray without ceasing, if God were not by nature a prayer-hearing and prayer-answering God. I submit to you that he is. He is a prayer-hearing and prayer-answering God, and therefore it ought to be the norm for God's people to get their prayers answered. What are you saying? If you can go day after day, week after week, and month after month without getting your prayers answered, you need to wake up. You got a serious spiritual problem in your walk with God. Serious spiritual problem. Because it is the very nature of God to answer our cry. Psalms 50 verse 15, call upon me in the day of trouble, I'll deliver thee. Jeremiah 33:3, call to me, I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So what was Christ saying here? He's simply saying, if you will abide in me, if you'll abide in me, you can have what you prayed for. So let me ask you something. You getting prayers answered? Are you getting results when you pray? If not, it may very well be you're not abiding in him. You're not united in him. There's a spiritual problem here. So there's something else that comes out of abiding in the Lord, and that's the joy of the Lord. We ought to be the happiest people on the planet. We got the supply of omnipotence, the wisdom of omniscience, the guidance of omnipresence. Right? Why don't we live like it and drive like it and shop like it? And so Jesus Christ intended, he said, these things have I spoken unto you. Verse 11, it's in the book. 5:7-11, fruit, prayers, joy, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy, Christ said, I want my joy to remain in you and that your joy may be full. And so what was he saying? He's simply saying this, you can have the joy of the Lord. The child of God can have the joy of the Lord in times of sorrow. The child of God can have joy in times of hardship. The child of God can have joy in times of trouble. So what was Jesus saying in verse 11? He was simply saying this, if my people abide in me, they can have the joy of the Lord. So let me ask you again, are you a joyful Christian? Are you rejoicing in the Almighty? If not, it may very well be you're not abiding in him. You say, preacher, what's going to happen to me if I choose not to obey? I choose not to abide in him. You let it go in one ear and right out the other this morning. You go out the way you came in. What's going to happen to me if I don't learn or I don't abide in him? What's going to happen? You know, Christ told you what's going to happen in verse 6. If a man abide not in me, his cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So, Jesus was not telling people how to get saved and stay saved in this passage of Scripture. Do you know what Jesus was teaching? Jesus was teaching us about branches. Branches who are symbols of God's people. Now, the branches are you and I. The vine is Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit of God is that blessed person who is in Christ and who is in you if you're truly saved. And if you will abide in him, in Christ, the Spirit of God, who produced that marvelous life in the Son of God some 2,000 years ago, can produce that same sort of life in you today. And you, who could not function apart from the vine, can begin bearing much fruit, can get your prayers answered, and experience the joy of the Lord 24/7. Okay, back up. How did Christ do it? He's our example, right? How did Christ live on the earth? How did Christ live his life on the earth some 2,000 years ago? How did he fight the devil? How did he fight temptation? Oh, I don't know. Luke chapter 4 and verse 1. Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So how did Christ do it? How did he fight the devil? How did he fight temptation? The Bible says he did it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus went out to fight the devil in the power of the Spirit. He went out to fight temptation in the power of the Spirit, and he returned in the power of the Spirit. How do you know that? Luke chapter 4 and verse 14. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. When you're filled with the Spirit of God, the same Spirit of God that gave Jesus power will give you power today. Maybe you did not know. Well, I didn't know you're supposed to think and read at the same time, but I got it. It didn't take me a decade to get it, you see. At 35, honestly, sincerely, they gave me a test, and see if I was going to comprehend anything. And I said, ma'am, I said, you want me to read and think at the same time? Norman never done that before. She like, really? I did not know. I did not know. But, you know, she said, ask questions and read at the same time. And I've never done that before. What if I never applied truth? What if I never did obeyed? I might still be as dumb as I was. Comprehension rate went over 85% during that semester. It does help to pray, though. Help! Help! You need all the help you can get, and so ask God to help you. And so the Holy Spirit of God, and if you will abide in Christ, I'm telling you, folks, the Holy Spirit of God that produced that marvelous life in the Son of God some 2,000 years ago can produce that same sort of life in you today. And you who could not function apart from the vine can begin bearing much fruit, can get your prayers answered, can have the joy of the Lord. If you do not abide in Christ, if you don't get it, no, it's not that you don't get it. If you don't apply truth, if you don't choose to do right, if you are throwing away much fruit, you're going to be a fruitless Christian. You're throwing away answers to prayer, bucket loads, and you're throwing away the joy of the Lord, and Christ never intended you to live that way. Now, are you interested in abiding in Christ? Then you must agree, whatever this abiding in Him is mighty important. Don't you think so? Folks, you can bear much fruit. You've been fruitless for decades. You can bear much fruit. You can get your prayers answered. You don't have to go to Visa God or Master God. You can go to God. Nothing wrong with a credit card, okay? Give me one as long as you pay for it, okay? But you got to live a godly life in His presence. Yeah. It's a different way of living. I know I've... Anyway, but you can use them if you want to, but you've got to live a godly life within His presence, folks. Getting your prayers answered, and you can have the joy of the Lord. God pays His school bills. I hope you'll come back. We have so much to learn, and I have so very little time to teach. And I hope you'll come back. I hope you'll make a decision. Those who come back faithfully is those who have made a decision to come back. You're not going to come back by accident. You're only going to come back if you make a decision by the grace of God. I will be here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And the devil don't want you here. The devil knows. He don't want you under the preaching, teaching, and personal reading of the book, because he knows if God's people do that under the preaching, teaching, they're going to be changed. They're going to mature, and they're going to develop, and they're going to be what Christ intended. And he don't want that. He wants you to rebel against God. He don't want you to make a decision to live for Christ. He don't want you to do the will of God. His will is that you might rebel against God. That's the devil's will. We should know that. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Ephesians 6:12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's not a minor thing, folks. You don't wrestle against someone who's powerless. And if we are wrestling against the devil, it's because the devil has real power. He's not to be ignored. He's not to be treated lightly. He's not the boogeyman. He's not something that goes bump in the night. He's a real person, as real as anyone in this room is real, and he's powerful. That's why Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, be on the lookout for danger. You're in danger, folks. You are in danger as a church. You're in danger as families. You're in danger as individuals. And you must not let your guard down until the day comes when the devil is chained in the bottomless pit. Spiritual battle. Satanic forces. I ain't even got time to go into all that, but y'all read the book, right? The instruction manual tells you how you can defeat the devil. Did you know as a Christian, the devil was defeated on the cross, but as a Christian, you can defeat the devil as old as he is? That's right. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Ha ha! Glory! That's James 4:7. But anyway, you can do it if you want to. Well, we got somebody. Okay, so are you interested in abiding in Christ? And whatever this abiding in Christ is, and very important. Bear much fruit, get your prayers answered, and have the joy of the Lord. That's why it's so important, the abiding in Christ. Now, what does it mean to abide in Christ? Okay, look at verse 4. Abide in me. Jesus said, that word abide here means to be united. So what was Jesus saying? He's simply saying this, be united in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. Now let's take this plant to illustrate this biblical truth. Christ often used the physical thing to do something like that. And so use your sanctified imagination. Christ is the vine. We are the branches. Okay. They can turn it around. Okay. All right. Now it's abiding in him. It's united in him. But now they've been cut off. And everything give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Raise through your mind. Apply scripture. And everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them that love God. And stop your complaining. Philippians 2:14, do all things without murmuring. It's his plant, okay? Did you get all of that? You should be doing, that should be a natural thing for all of us. In every circumstance, situation, you apply truth. And so, now it was, they were abiding in him for a while, and they looked nice. But they're no longer abiding in him. They're not united in him. They've been cut off, right? What's beginning to happen here? Y'all are smart, right? What's beginning to happen to these Christians right here? Death is beginning to set in, right? Now, for a while, they look great. But a month from now, they begin to wither, dry, and absolutely useless as far as the cause of Christ is concerned. Can we agree on that, right? That's okay. The same thing is true for the Christian that does not abide in the vine, that don't abide in Christ. Now, do you want to live a withered, dry, useless life as far as the cause of Christ is concerned? Then don't abide in him. Don't abide in the vine. Don't abide in God, in Christ. And so let me ask you, what separates the child of God from fellowship with the vine? I'm not talking about our relationship with God. Once saved, always saved. We understand that. I'm talking about our fellowship with God. Go back. The purpose of God's working in mankind was not simply to save you from hell. He did not save you merely to take you to heaven. He did not save you merely to forgive you of your sins. Thank God. But no, the purpose of God's working in mankind is to make it possible for you to walk with God. Like God met Adam and Eve. You can walk in fellowship with Christ every day. Christ intended that. And you should have mastered complaining by now. Certainly if you've got any years on you. 1 Samuel 15:22, Samuel said to Saul, to obey is better than sacrifice. It's better to do right than getting forgiveness for complaining. You don't have to complain. You don't have to do wrong. If you do, don't blame Adam. Don't blame your wife. If she was a better Christian, I'd be a super Christian. No, you got to blame yourself. It's your fault. Your fault. Y'all coming back, right? All right. I have so much to share. This is going to be wonderful. It's going to be a wonderful week, but you got to be here. And I'll share with you. I'll just keep going a little bit deeper. This is Christianity 101. I got this nearly 30 years ago. Yeah. I let his word abide in me. And then we'll go into the other condition in a minute. So I'm not talking about our relationship with God, once saved, always saved. I'm talking about my fellowship with my master. I'm talking about as I choose to walk with God by his side as his friend, as his companion, and my fellowship with the master. And every time I complain, I just slap him in the face. And then I turn around and say, give me $5. It really don't work that well. Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, and the Lord will not hear nor. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2, behold, the Lord's hand is not short and cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But son, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid my face from you, that I will not hear. That's getting to know God. That's why I try to keep it short. I kind of sin. I don't wait. I go to bed at night to get right with God. Right? Lord, forgive me my wrongdoings. What's that? Confession? No, it's not. Somebody lied to you. No, Lord, I lusted. Lord, I cheated on my test today. Lord, I call sin by its right name and get it right and then forget it. Do what God did. He forgave you. Forgive yourself. And so anyway, that's another thing. So, okay, I'm talking about our fellowship with God. So what separates your child of God from fellowship with the vine is sin. So don't go on in your sin. You got to get it right. I'm telling you, you got to get it right now. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, lust, pride, covetousness, cheating, stealing, worry. Yeah, worry. Prayerlessness, lust, pride, all that. You know, if we confess it, God said, I'm faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And that what brings the child of God back in fellowship with the Lord is confession. If we confess it, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, okay, we got that. So what was Jesus saying in John 15, verse 4? If you'll abide in me, that is, if you will maintain fellowship with Christ. Keep a short account of sin. Don't wait to go to bed at night. Certain things are going to happen. Certain things are going to happen. Things are going to change in your life, in your walk with God. You can bear much fruit now. You were fruitless before. Now you can bring forth much fruit. Now you can get your prayers answered, and you can have the joy of the Lord when others complain. Wah, 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 wah. Can you imagine? Christ, the Spirit of God said he'll be in me forever. That's why I think he'll be with me when I get to heaven, too. Can you imagine making a promise like that and all you do is, wee, wee, wee. You ever been around someone that cries all the time? Man, no wonder we grieve the Spirit of God. Now, has that taken a decade to get? Huh? You're listening, right? Going to be a test if I hurry it up. Still got 15 minutes, right? Yeah. Okay. Don't you see, God wants you to walk in fellowship with him every day. Folks, this evening, after lunch, you can walk with God. You can talk to God. You can fellowship. We'll see about that. You can fellowship with God, and God, through his word and through the Spirit of God, can talk back to you. And it's his will. It is his will that you so walk with Jesus Christ every day, that your heart will burn within you as he talks to you and why he opens to you the word of God. And there's very few of God's people even know what I'm talking about. Matter of fact, they really don't want it. You know, remember when you got saved and sins forgiven? I mean, you destined in heaven and all, everything was sweet and wonderful, and you tried to get your family and friends, neighbors and co-workers to get on board, and they didn't want what you have. You know what I'm talking about? They kind of vacate the premises. I'm trying to share with you how you can walk with God. And walking with God is a path that's wonderful, the Creator. And there's very few that they kind of vacate the premises. They really don't want to know how to walk with God. Just as man cannot get saved any way he chooses, you cannot live for Christ, do the will of God, or glorify God any way you choose. And that's where many of God's people have missed it. What did you hear? I love you, right? Y'all didn't turn me off yet, right? I love you. Do you hear I love you? My favorite color? Yeah, what did I mean by that? I love green. That's all. I'm telling you, I told you, didn't I tell you Saturday, if you don't take me like a 9-year-old, you are going to write me off like a bad TV program? Then I told you that, right? I have nothing to gain by lying to you. The only reason for me to inhale and exhale is that I might walk with God and live for others. That's it. Those are decisions I've made. Each decision you make draw you a little closer to the Lord. And you can get as close to God as you want to, but too much is given. I'm telling you, folks, much is given. He said, I often give the repentant child of God a second chance. But he says, don't you ever presume upon that. I'll take you out like I took Moses out. See, Moses, he was supposed to speak and he smote, and God took him out, didn't he? He often gives the repentant child a second chance, but draw nigh unto God. And never presume upon that. That's getting to know God better. You want to get to know Him? Is He worth it? I mean, come back. And so you can walk with God. Micah 6:8, He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. So here it is. It's not right. It's not right that you not walk in fellowship with Jesus Christ every day, and that's your problem. That's why you're not producing fruit in your life. That's why you're not getting your prayers answered. That's why you're not experiencing the joy of the Lord. Jesus Christ said, you're not abiding in me. You're not abiding in the vine. You're not maintaining fellowship with me. You're not maintaining fellowship with the vine. If you do not produce fruit in your life today, it's not because you've not mastered the Romans road. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5:12, wherefore is by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. You know what I'm talking about? It's not because you've not mastered the Romans road. The problem is you're not abiding in Him. You're not united in Him. In other words, you're not maintaining fellowship with God. If your prayers are not getting answered, it's not because you've not trying to pray. The problem is you're not abiding in Him. If your life is miserable and there is no joy, it's not because you're just under 15 inches of snow under the weather, okay? The problem is you're not abiding in Christ. See, Jesus said, if these things are not in you, the problem is you're not abiding in me. Does that make sense? You're not abiding in the vine. You should be walking in fellowship with Jesus Christ every day. And that's what it means to abide in Him. Abiding in Him. So keep a short account of sin. Find an inconsistency, a sin in your life. You deal with it. And so now, two conditions. We notice why is it so important that we abide in Christ? 5, 7, 11. Prayer is answered and have the joy of the Lord. And then we noticed, and if you don't abide in Christ, you're going to live a withered, dry, useless life as far as the cause of Christ is concerned. If you maintain fellowship with God, you'll bring forth fruit, prayers answered, and joy of the Lord. Now, two conditions quickly. Two conditions to abide in Christ. He told us there are only two. If you're not abiding in Him, united in Him, you have violated one or both of these conditions. First, it's very important you get this. You must let His words abide in you. Now, many of you folks are listening to me, but that's not letting His Word abide in you. It's going in one ear and right out the other. Some of you folks, you need to wake up. You need to wake up. See, abiding in Christ, letting His Word abide in you are the very same thing. Abiding in Christ, letting His Word abide in you are the very same thing. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. So Psalm 119:11, you know why? It says in Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might walk with God, that I might be in fellowship with Him. Hide His word in my, that I might not sin against God, folks. Sin against God. Why? I want to walk in fellowship. I hide His word. I race through my mind and say, Lord, what would you say I should do? Now, folks, you ought to be better at it. Right? You should have mastered some of this by now. I'm telling you, it's a wonderful thing. Remember, you can get as close to God as you want to, but you're going to have to hide His word in your heart that you might not sin against God. that you might walk in fellowship with him 24-7, 365, 68. Now, many of you are listening to me. That's not letting his word abide in you. Letting God's word abide in you is taking the truths of God's word this morning and not letting them go when you leave the building. You say, preacher, what must I do? Before you go to bed tonight, you ought to say something like this. God, you taught me something wonderful in Sunday school this morning. You taught me from the word of God, continuing the things, Paul said to Timothy, continuing the things which thou hast learned and been assured of. He taught you this morning that if you would abide in him, maintain fellowship with God, let his word abide in you, you can bring forth fruit, you can get your prayers in, you can have the joy of the Lord. Right? Then you need to go over it in the morning when you get up tomorrow morning. Get in the book and say, oh, you taught me today. Go over it in a week and 2 weeks from today and a year from today. Then and only then are you allowing his word to abide in you. Maybe that's the problem. Wow. He did not save you that you might live for yourself and do what you want to do. He saved you so that you might walk with him, that you might serve him. What I'm sharing with you is the normal Christian walk, the Christian life. Maybe you did not know. Now we can change, right? You know what it starts? Living for Christ, doing the will of God, pursuing his will is not the result of a sermon. It's a decision on the part of the Christian. By the grace of God, that's what I'm going to do. And he won't do for you what you do for yourself, and won't do because you have no character. He's not going to pick you up and throw you into the chair and open the Bible and say, read this. If you don't have discipline or character to do that, he won't do it for you. But if you'll get up tomorrow morning, open the Word of God and say, help, he will now meet you and empower you to do his will. But you've got to discipline yourself to do what you've decided and depend upon the Holy Spirit of God to meet you in that moment of discipline. Zechariah 4:6, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. So you say, preacher, what must I do? Or whatever God. Second, so now, the second. First, you must let his word abide in you. Y'all listening to me, right? A lot of information, right? You need to go over it again. You need to read over it again. It wouldn't hurt you to memorize this portion of Scripture, okay? And then go over it again and again. And then now the second thing is you must be obedient to it. You see, if you're going to take all this info in, you let his word abide in you, then you need to be obedient to it. That makes sense. Well, John 15:10, he said, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Folks, as you walk with God, talk to God, fellowship with the Creator. He talks back to you through his word, the Spirit of God. You are to obey him. You are to do what he says. You're to go where he wants you to go. You're to bring your life in total submission to him. Then you'll discover what the normal Christian walk is about. The normal Christian walk. I used to call it the victorious Christian life, but people never thought they could obtain to such a thing. You've been deceived. You've been lied to. You can walk with God. Christ intended that. And so, don't you see, you need to live by the truths of the Word of God. We'll talk about that in the morning. The Bible needs to govern your life. The Bible needs to dictate your actions. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And so, what was Jesus saying in John 15:10? He's simply saying this. My people need to do what the Bible says to do and keep from doing what it says not to do. We need to do that which is lawful and legal in the sight of God. So you'll get a praise at the judgment seat of Christ. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You don't want to wake up one day and bury your face in your hands and weep buckets of tears because you've abused and misused the life he gave you, do you? You know, you want to see him one day with a smile on his face? Glory! It's not going to happen by accident, folks. I'm telling you, it's not going to. You don't wake up one morning and find that you're well-pleasing to God. It don't happen that way. You need to make a conscious and deliberate decision by the grace of God. That's how you're going to stand before him one day. And so, Do you know why some of you are not in fellowship with the Lord this morning? And your worship and praise are not acceptable to God? That's right. If there's something between you and your God, the fault is not God's. The fault is yours. And your worship and praise are not acceptable to God. But that can all change, right? If we have our sins washed away, right? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us, so that our worship and praise be acceptable to the Almighty. And so, it's very simple. If you're not in fellowship with Him, folks, you ought to live in such a way and say, I know I'm well pleasing to God. I am well. I'm in fellowship with God today. I'm well pleasing in God's sight. He's coming again. Could be today. And don't wait to get right with God. Forget the past failures. Can't keep a short account of sins. You have either not allowed His Word to have any place in your heart, or you're not doing what the Bible says to do and keeping from doing what it says not to do. Here it is. When you do not abide in God's Word, when you do not obey the Word of God, when you allow sin in your life, you're not united in Him. You're not abiding in Christ. And at this point, if you don't get right, you're going to continue to wither and dry away and have nothing to show Him that you love Him. You see why it's so important that you maintain fellowship with Jesus Christ every day? Stop at a stop sign. Okay. I had one pastor said, you want my people to stop at a stop sign? I can't even get them to memorize Scripture. And I said, Pastor, if they don't stop at a stop sign, they'll never go and memorize Scripture. All right, would Jesus stop? Yes or no? Right? Titus 2:12, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly, godlike in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. He's coming again. And if I were you, I would learn, discipline yourself to stop, because it's the right thing to do. Right? Did y'all read the instruction manual? How'd you get your license? You got to stop at a stop sign. You know what policemen say? Norman, get them to slow down. Get them to slow down. That's a decision. Then you discipline yourself to do what you decided, and that's stop. Stop your complaining. Stop at a stop sign. Get to know Him. And so we're about done here. Got in a minute. He said, of course. So, the importance of the body of Christ. You tell me now, what did you hear? Besides, I love you. Okay? Why is it so important that you abide in Christ? Y'all want to go home, right? You want to get done. Why is it? You tell me. Why is it so important that you abide in Christ? You were listening, right? Bear fruit. That was in verse 5. You see, you've already got it. You get it? I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And so he meant what he said. See, Christ is not like you. You lied to me. People lied to me. God's people try to deceive me. Really, I've been at that long enough. But you know what I've learned? Christ will never lie to me. Christ will never deceive me. I just need to take him at his word. Christ meant it. And so he said, if you'll abide in me, keep a short account of sin, you'll bring forth much fruit. And then number two, why is it so important to maintain fellowship with God? Let His Word abide in you, which same thing. Be obedient to it. Verse 10. What was the second one? Prayer. Get your prayers answered. Praise God. And that was in verse. Now you need to go over it again, you see. Verse 7. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. You can get your prayers answered. It's the norm for God to answer your prayers. He's waiting in heaven, desiring to hear the petitions of His people. Right now, He answers every sincere prayer of a Christian who is in fellowship with Him. I hope you believe that. And then what is the third one? Joy of the Lord. Verse 11. These things have I written unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. He intended you to be a joyful Christian. And then the two conditions abiding in Christ. There's only two now. Go over it again. The first one, you must let His Word abide in you. That was in verse 7. Abide in me and my words abide in you, and then you have to be obedient to it. That was in verse. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. So let me ask you this. Are you right now abiding in God's word? That's a yes or no, not a. Are you abiding in God's word? Are you obeying the Word of God? Are you allowing the Word of God to tell you what to do and what not to do? Are you bearing much fruit? Are you reproducing yourselves in the lives of others? Are you getting your prayers answered? Are you getting results when you pray? Are you a joyful Christian? Or are you right now living a withered, dry, useless life as far as Jesus is concerned? He said, go tell my people. I never intended my people to live that way. Now, folks, if it takes you another decade, look, you don't got a decade to get it. Some of you need to look in the mirror. You don't have a decade to get it. And young people, you don't have a decade to get it. Jesus could come today. Okay, it's done. Okay, y'all coming back, right? They're coming in already.